Hi, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday service. I'm Sean, the service leader for today. So, you know, this is the first Sunday of August and just happened to be a long weekend for everyone. And next week is going to be another long weekend for everyone. If you feel that you have a great weekend that has just passed, please type amen in the Q&A and also welcome home. So I hope that everybody can, you know, type in the word amen, because so that, you know, I know that you are here. You know, we have been doing digital service for a while, and you know, sometimes only a few of us are commenting, or those who are producing, like Pastor Mia, Pastor Pauline, Jimmy, and Jamie, which you see our face a lot. It seems that only a few of us are here. So I hope to see you guys type word amen if you are present with us today at the digital service. If you are using your mobile, it will lag a bit if you type the word amen. So I hope to hear the comment from you guys. So welcome once again to our Sunday service and hope you enjoy the service ahead. So let us now invite everyone to prepare your heart. Quiet down your heart and prepare for the call to worship. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us be glad this day for life, for breath, and for freedom to worship.
Blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord.
We come to bring our gifts of praise and gratitude to the God of creation.
Trust in the Lord at all time, O people. God is a refuge for us.
God is our rock and our salvation, and we shall not be shaken.
God is good, and in God's work we find our strength.
We sing of all God's wonderful works. Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord.
Amen. Now, as we go to the worship section, if you experience some issues with the worship, you can go on to the aka.ms FCC Live Worship to access the live recording HD, after which I invite you come back again to continue for our digital service. See you later.
FCC, how are you doing? I hope that you and your family are coping well during these times. Join us in the time of worship as we fix our eyes on God, our ever-present help and strength.
Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship the Holy Name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your Holy. Oh, strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending.
Shall we sing as we gather?
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Let's sing it again.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Lord, we'll be blessed because we came. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Let's sing the steadfast love.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord.
As we gather.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Oh Lord, we'll be blessed because we came. Trust without borders, let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me.
God, you are bigger than the universe. You are bigger than our minds can conceive. You are bigger than the trials that come our way. You are bigger than the things that can tear us apart. God, help us to see you when our vision becomes narrow. Help us to trust you when situations in our life threaten to overwhelm us. You are bigger than our past, our fear, our pain. You are bigger than our anger, our doubt, our shame. And I pray especially for those who are struggling during this time, for those who are experiencing brokenness in relationships, and those who are trying to heal, for those who are having financial difficulties, and those who are anxious about their jobs and businesses. Grant us all peace and remind us of your promise of daily provision. Help us remember your faithfulness, Lord, and how you've taken care of us at every turn of our lives. Help us see that, God, you are bigger, bigger than our uncertainties and our brokenness. God, you are bigger, and you have the bigger picture in mind. Help us to pay attention and catch glimpses of what you are doing amongst us and around the world, especially during this time. Help us to participate in your bigger plan as you give us grace too. And we pray all these in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us this Sunday for our Sunday service. As we begin, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. May you transform us and make us into new creations every single day. Amen. 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, the followers of Jesus gathered and witnessed a miracle. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That was Pentecost. But do you know that something similar happened again in the Bible? I want to invite you to type the answer if you or your guesses into the Q&A. So today, I want to do things a little differently. I know that this online service can get a bit boring and unengaging, and all you're seeing is seeing me sitting here talking and talking and talking. So we are trying to change things up a little bit. So today, I want to invite you to participate. Instead of just listening to me preach, I'll be also asking questions along the way. And I want you to imagine that you're present there in the story. And I want you to think about what is going on through each character's mind. I'll also be asking you about how you think and how you feel. And I hope in doing so, we can think about how this passage applies to us today. Because I don't expect you to type a long answer or an essay. And it will help to just type short answers, you know, things that are on your mind. And for those of you who are on mobile phones, I understand it can be quite challenging because you have to go exit the screen and come back to the stream. But don't worry. The stream actually pauses for you when you type on the Q&A and returns when you return back, it brings you back to the point that you left. So you won't miss up anything. And one thing to note that the streaming of the service lags behind the broadcast. So what I'm speaking now is delayed about maybe 15 to 30 seconds. So when you type your answers into the Q&A, I will be further ahead in my sermon. And so it's kind of challenging because I cannot be waiting 30 seconds for your answers to come in. So I've written this sermon with that in mind, so I can circle back, so I can read your answers and address them. So by this time, I will be able to circle back to your answers earlier about the question, where did the Pentecost-like event happen? And I can see a few answers popping up here. Alex said Tower of Babel, and Rachel said when Peter went to the house of what's that guy's name? Rachel got it right, because this happened again when Peter met Cornelius, that guy. When the Holy Spirit came on all who heard Peter's message, including the Gentiles, Cornelius, his close friends and family. They spoke in tongues and praised God. But let's start from the beginning of Acts 10. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the poor and prayed constantly to God. So who was this Cornelius? As a centurion, he was someone with status and privilege in society. Yet, he was a devout man who feared God and gave alms and prayed constantly to God. Why? What about this God that draws him? And what about you? Yes, you here and now, you who are attending our Sunday service, what is it about God that draws you? I invite you to share your answers in the Q&A. Just type it out. Cornelius did not just pray to God, he also took action. He gave generously to the poor, living out his values and his faith. Perhaps it is because this God resonates with his values. The God of Jesus is about love, about mercy, about justice, about taking care of the least amongst us. This God is different from the other gods the Romans worshipped then. This God reveals a world different from the Roman Empire. It's all about power, domination, exploitation, and inequality. For me, I follow God because God is about love. God is love demonstrated by Christ, whose power does not come from domination, but instead comes from humility, service, vulnerability. Jesus treated his followers as friends, not as subjects. Jesus knelt before his disciples and washed their feet and commanded them and us to love each other as I have loved you. So what about you? What is it about God that draws you? Sean says it's God's unconditional love for us. Jay also says love for us. Wow, it's almost unanimous. Austin, Loretta also, the love that's present in the people. Thank you for your answers. Let's move on. Then what happened to Cornelius? One afternoon, at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in. Can we move to the next slide? Yeah. The next one. He had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. He stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angels who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him. And after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. Why did the angel appear to Cornelius? Are you surprised? Because of his prayers and alms, the angel appeared to Cornelius. That's what the passage says. Not because of his social status, or his Roman citizenship, or his gender identity, or his sexual orientation. Prayer and alms. And how do these translate to us in 2020? Today, it is about our spiritual journeys, our spiritual growth, and our participation in the work God is doing amongst us. Participation in taking care of the least amongst us. It is working on ourselves to be more and more Christ-like, more and more in the likeness of God, not just carrying the image of God, but also the qualities of God, being loving, merciful, patient, just. It is about how we do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Does it surprise you that an angel appeared to Cornelius? Well, the answers, God's faithful, angels are messages of God when God wants to get our attention. Well, for many of us, we might not be surprised that the angel appeared to Cornelius, right? Because God decided to send an angel to Cornelius. But that's because we read the passage today and take it at face value. But if we placed ourselves at that time, we would have been outraged and shocked. How can an angel of God appear to someone who is a Gentile, someone who is not one of us? It would be just as shocking to them. And we can compare that as if an angel appeared to a non-Christian today. But God is bigger than we think. God is bigger than we think. Now, Mark got the answer right. Mark said, it does seem strange that an angel will appear because he doesn't identify as Christian or Jew. We move to Peter in Acts 10, right? It continues on. And about noon the next day, as they were on their journey approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened up and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Can you imagine Peter, who has been brought up as a Jew, observing the Jewish dietary laws all his life, reacting to this vision? I think a useful comparison to understand this is to think about our Muslim friends who also observe religious dietary laws as well, and how they will react to being told to break the dietary laws and eat something that is not halal. When Peter heard, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat," all these animals that are considered unclean, he protested, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." Peter said no to the voice. I can even picture Peter saying, but the Torah clearly says these animals are unclean. Peter grew up being taught these animals are unclean, and he probably grew a kind of revulsion to these animals. These animals were described as detestable. Jews become unclean, defiling themselves if they eat them. And even if they touch the corpses, the carcass of these animals. It's all in the scriptures. This may be why the vision has to be repeated three times. God needed to repeat it for Peter to get it. Peter is not known for getting things right the first time round. After all, Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" three times. And Peter often didn't get the point. Did Peter agree with the vision? And what was Peter's reaction? Peter was greatly puzzled by the vision. We continue on into verse 17. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision he had seen, suddenly the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Look, three men are searching for you. Now get up. Go down and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them." So Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for you coming?" They answered, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So Peter invited them and gave them lodging. Immediately after the vision, the men sent by Cornelius arrived. Why do you think God sent this vision to Peter instead of telling him to directly go to Cornelius? Because after all, God sent the angel to tell Cornelius to send the men to fetch him. Isn't it simpler for God to just send an angel and tell Peter, "Peter, go and look for Cornelius"? While you type the answer, I want to talk to you and tell you about the dietary laws in Leviticus 11. The Jews have a certain belief about the order of the world. Things, including animals, were considered clean or unclean according to how they fit into the order of the world. They believed in strict categories, and mixing things, be it mixing materials in one's garment or different plants in the same field, were considered wrong. If you belong to a certain category, you need to behave in a certain way. So animals have to fit in this order. Animals with divided hooves are supposed to chew their cud, meaning that they have to regurgitate their food to chew again to digest the food, like the cows. Pigs were considered detestable because they had hooves that were divided, but how they digested food didn't fit into this order. Shrimp and turtle and lobsters were detestable because they lived in water but didn't have fins and scales. So they didn't look like fish. So what they had in mind was, if you fit into this category, you need to behave in a certain way. Whatever that lives in water needs to look like a fish. Eagles and owls were detestable because, unlike birds, the other birds that ate seeds or fruits, these animals ate other animals. And vultures were detestable because they ate carrion, dead animals. Eating unclean animals or even touching them could defile a Jew. It is not accurate to say that eating unclean animals was a sin in the moral sense, because no one was harmed by such a deed. But diet was regarded as a fundamental way to honor the cosmic order as the Jewish people understood it. And to eat foods that were out of order put a person out of order. It rendered them ritually unclean, meaning that they could not fulfill other religious obligations until they cleansed themselves. Peter was greatly puzzled by what to make of the vision. Is God telling him that God is changing the rules? Or were these animals always clean, and they were wrong about them being unclean and even detestable? And then right after the vision, the Spirit says to Peter that God has sent 3 Gentiles to search for him. Go down and go with them without hesitation. These men were also considered unclean. They were Gentiles. What is God trying to say to Peter? Now, let me take a look at the answers you have typed in. Shenting said, so that Peter would understand the bigger picture. Yeah. And Tao said, maybe God wanted him to think about it. And God wanted this to mean God made all Gentiles, to make clean all Gentiles, not just Cornelius. And maybe, Mark said God wants Peter to make his own decision rather than to make it an order, an instruction. And maybe Adam said maybe God wanted to mentally prepare Peter to be more open-minded when talking to Cornelius. Yeah, that's it. Oh, Daryl pointed out that they visited what was purported to be the house of Simon the Tanner when we made the trip to when FCC had the Israel trip in 2018. Mark says, God wants Peter to discern the spiritual truth. James said, to prepare Peter's heart to receive the messengers of Cornelius. And Mark, I don't know whether this is the same Mark or there are several Marks, the line between clean and unclean does seem very arbitrary and shows the limits of our understanding, like what should be a fish. And Rachel said it's hard to change people's mind. So God used the supernatural to get his attention. And yeah, so thank you for all the answers. I would say that God is, and that some of you have already given that answer, God is opening Peter's eye to see that God is bigger than what he had been taught. Far bigger and far more inclusive. The vision was to change Peter's perception of the Gentiles. The vision challenges Peter's way of seeing things as clean and unclean. It prepares Peter for his meeting with Cornelius and prepares Peter to welcome Gentiles into the early church. I can even imagine Peter saying, "The Torah clearly says these animals are unclean. They are an abomination. They are detestable." Could I be wrong? Could God be doing a new thing? We don't know what is going on in Peter's mind after receiving the vision, and as he met these 3 strangers at the door. But the next day, he got up and went with them and some of the believers from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him and, falling on his feet, worshipped him. But Peter made him get up, saying, "Stand up, I am only a mortal." And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled. And he said to them, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. So may I ask why you sent for me?" Now let us put ourselves in the shoes of the believers from Joppa who accompanied Peter. How do you think they felt about what Peter said? What do you think was on their mind? Keep in mind, they may not have any idea about the vision that Peter had. They might not even have it might be possible that they also received the same vision. It's not told in a text. But it's likely that they did not know. But they respected Peter as the leader and they followed him. Peter, on the other hand, has arrived at his own conclusions after wrestling several days from the time he received the vision and to arriving on Cornelius' doorstep. He expanded his vision about not calling any animal profane or unclean to also include not calling any person profane or unclean. He allowed God to open his eyes to see that God is far bigger and far more inclusive than what the scriptures taught. He allowed his experience, this vision that he had, to trump over the scriptures, to trump over tradition and what he has been taught about what is unclean and unclean all his life. But what about the believers from Joppa? But we can make some guesses. And I will look at some of your answers. Well, Jamie's getting hungry when I talk about lobsters. Let me see where is the surprise, because they were Jews. And Austin said, probably confused and maybe even affronted, right? Because imagine you are Jewish and you didn't receive the vision. How would you feel about what Peter has said? You know, does Peter have this authority to go against the scriptures? Then Cornelius tells Peter his own experience, right? Cornelius replied, "4 days ago, this very hour, at 3:00, I was praying in my house when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He's staying in the home of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. Therefore, I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come.' So now all of us here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say." Then Peter began to speak to them. "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Christ. He is Lord of all." Wow. We in the current day may not be shocked at what Peter is saying, but the other believers would certainly have some reaction. I can imagine them saying, "Peter, what are you saying? That God shows no partiality? Where in the scriptures can you find that? Because in our scriptures, God shows a lot of partiality." Yes, Peter was sharing the gospel to the Gentiles, but the gospel was always the good news for us, the Jews. Now, Peter is saying the story includes the Gentiles, these unclean people, and just the way they are, no need to convert to being a Jew, no need to be circumcised. Peter is crazy. Peter is possessed by Satan. And How do you think the story ends? How do you think the story ends? While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter was astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they had heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So we ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. How do you think the believers who thought Peter was crazy, that Peter didn't have any scriptural basis to say that God shows no partiality, think now? They are witnesses right here to a miracle, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles. And not only that, this breaks the rules and changes how they understood the Spirit works. Because they think that you need to first baptize with water, then you're open to the Holy Spirit. But here it is the reverse. They were not baptized yet, and they were infused with the Holy Spirit. God surprises us all the time, because God is bigger than what we can imagine. The Holy Spirit first descended on these people, and these people that they thought were unclean, even before they were baptized. The Holy Spirit filled them just as they were, without having to become Jewish first. Wow. And this perhaps is the reason why Christianity was brought to the Gentiles and to us today. What does this mean for us today? What does it mean to you today? And you can type your answers, you know, as it comes to you. Because, as I repeated several times already, God is far bigger than we think, or than what we think. And sometimes we must move beyond what the Bible, what the scripture says, and see what God is doing around us. Open our eyes to see. God could easily have revealed the gospel to Cornelius through the angel. But what would have happened then? Then there would be two churches, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles. God brought Peter and Cornelius together because this new thing that God is doing is about drawing the circle wider and not about drawing more circles. Peter had to go from Joppa to Caesarea, but the greater distance he traveled was within himself. From seeing the Gentiles as unclean and the other, to welcoming them as part of the church and the family of God. And he had to also to move from all he had been taught about the Torah, about the scriptures, to embracing this bigger God that's radically inclusive. And here I want to see what you said about how the story ends. What does it mean for us today? Just a reflection, Adam says, this idea of the gospel being reserved for certain people hits a bit close to home because church leaders like Reverend Yap, who support LGBT folk, are denounced by others, more conservative church leaders. Yeah. If left up to my imagination, I would imagine that the story ends with a fierce debate about kosher laws and the status of Gentiles. Exactly. You know, you'll be debating one another. You know, they'll start quoting scriptures against the other, and then that one will find another, the Gentiles will find some, you know, another piece of scripture and say, "Oh, but wait a minute, you know, isn't Ruth not a Gentile too, right? Ruth wasn't Jewish, just that she married a Jew." And even today, Jimmy says, there are segments of Christianity that promotes cleanliness code of eating right. Yeah, I agree. When I told folks that I was going to get duck's blood when I was in Taipei, some people were rather surprised, you know, really blood. But there's no prohibition for us. We move beyond that. We need to remain attentive to the voice of God, which may speak in unexpected ways. Yeah. Yes, Daryl. And Matthew says, this is totally the work of the Holy Spirit. Peter's other actions in action shows that he himself has partiality, that he himself has bias, right? And Anonymous said, oh, I love this. We can come as we are and be loved by God. Gen C says, be open-minded, for you never know if God has spoken to people the same way God has spoken to Simon Peter. Yeah. Tao says that I think people's understanding of scripture and God's word is limited. So it's difficult to know what God's plan is. Matthew says, I got a feeling that how often can we witness this paradigm shift in history? Liberation of LGBTQ community may be one. Well, I would say that people's changing mindset about slavery, about African Americans, about Blacks, right, is also one on that. And Mark says, drawing the circle wider, not drawing more circles. An idea for SCC meme. Oh, yeah. There were many Jews who were not on board with this inclusivity. They insisted that Gentiles start following Jewish customs. And later on, even Peter felt afraid of offending these folks. And in their presence, he started keeping away from the Gentiles. Paul had to scold Peter for being hypocritical. Yes, that even after receiving a vision from God and doing all this, you know, we fear the reprisal, we fear the rejection, we fear the backlash that might come. Even Peter, disciple of Christ, the rock of the church. And Jay says, God is bigger than we always thought. And JB says, I wonder how many versions of God is out there. I don't know. And Gideon says, God is living and active, not history. You know, we here at FCC find ourselves in an intersection of Christians and LGBTQ people and LGBTQ affirming people. You know who we are? We are Peter. We are called to bring the believers and Gentiles together and then go beyond that to bring different people together, the LGBTQ and the straight, the privileged and the marginalized, the ones who are in the circle and the ones who are outside the circle. Because this is what FCC is about. Free. First, realize everyone's equal. It's about us working to build bridges, build community, to learn to love one another regardless. Regardless of who you identify as, regardless of where you come from, regardless of your race, regardless of your background, regardless of your gender identity, your sexual orientation, your race, your educational level, your physical attributes, even your religion, regardless of all the ways we divide and separate ourselves, and to love one another as God has loved us. We will chart a different path, not one that sees people who call LGBT folks agents of Satan as our enemy, but a sibling. We'll continue to speak the truths of our lives without denying the truths of other people's lives. We will do all this as the best we can, as harmless as doves. This is what it means to grow, to become more and more Christ-like, more and more in the likeness of God. This is what doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God looks like. May we allow God to use us to do new things. May we open our eyes and see that God is big. Amen.
Thank you, Miak, for such an inspiring sermon. We now come to a time of Holy Communion. So please prepare your own elements to represent the bread and wine at home if you have not already done so, so we can all partake together. We gather each Sunday at this table. Even though at this time we are not physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. We are your people, God, called together in your love. We are your children, Mother, called around the table of your word. We are your disciples, Lord, called to praise and give you thanks.
We thank you, good and gracious God, for calling us to be your people, for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands to touch and bless our world.
Even as your people, God, we are separated from ourselves, each other, and you, the creator of life. Let us confess our brokenness.
As people caught in our tradition, we confess that we have helped perpetuate systems that deny the dignity and sacred worth of all sorts and conditions of persons. We have paid lip service to equality. Our lives are based on discrimination of the other. We have been our own worst enemies. We have failed ourselves, others, and we have failed you, God. Moved by your power, we accuse ourselves because we have not allowed you to form us as a new people. We confess our sin and we pledge to work for reconciliation with one another.
We thank you, gracious God, for forgiveness and the chance to start again. We thank you, gracious God, for the gift of your Spirit given to us in Jesus, in whom we are freed from the past and its oppression, in whom the gift is complete. Gracious God, you are the mother of creation and the father of all life. We are gathered as your people to thank you for your blessings, to receive your mercy and forgiveness, and to remember how Jesus died for us, accepting death to show his love for us and you.
Remember how Jesus came to us, becoming one of us, born like us, of flesh and blood and bone, a fully human person like us, in all things but sin. Remember how on the night before Jesus died, he gathered with his friends for one last meal. As Jesus loved them then, so he loves us now.
Sisters and brothers, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more, ever. Anyone eating this bread will not die, ever. This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, remember me. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the harvest is sure to be abundant. I love you as I have been loved. Abide in my love. This is my blood, shed for you. Take, drink, remember me.
Jesus, you are always present in our midst. You come to us simply, lovingly, humbly, in word and sacrament, in this bread and wine, in the love we share with one another.
Let us eat and drink of this bread and wine, remembering Jesus, his teaching, his life, his suffering, his death, and his rising to new life. Gracious and loving God, you have made us one in the body of Christ and nourished us at your table with holy food and drink.
Thank you for feeding our hunger and relieving our thirst. With deep gratitude, we offer you our lives, our love, ourselves, gathered in Jesus by your life-giving Spirit. May we become a new people, wholly pleasing to you, a people giving glory to your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone. My sincere apology about just now in the early part where you heard some squeaking sound because of my fan at home. So I managed to get a new fan just now. So sorry about it. So thank you once again for joining us to our free community church Sunday service. And thank you, Pastor Mia. I think it's also a reflection for myself, how I was being brought into FCC in the first place in the beginning where I spoke to God spoke to me, and you know how I've been here to serve and how can we serve more, especially in this time of the new norm. And thank you for setting such a new standard for everyone. And thank you everyone for interacting with us, especially with Pastor Miak's sermon itself. So welcome once again. As what Miak mentioned, Pastor Miak mentioned, free stands for first realize everyone's equal. So we love you, God love you as who you are, and you're welcome here always because because you are being loved. So if you're new, first time here, okay, you want to really get to know about FCC, you know, what is really our theology is about. What does Pastor Miak mention just now? Is it real or is it something that is out of the world, is mind-blowing for you? You know, you can join us, stay in charge by leaving your detail at aka.ms/FCCwelcome. And every last Sunday of each month, we are going to have our newcomers meeting. So you can actually email us at info@freecomchurch.org. If you'd like to know, to get to know us more. Now, in terms of, you know, during this COVID-19 situation, we are still in phase two, where we can't really gather together in our location, in church itself. But we are going back soon, more for doing the service. But if you need pastoral support, you can reach us at info@freecom.org. And today after service, we actually have two rooms. First is on the live prayer, okay, where our Pastor Pauline will be there to do praying together. If you have prayer requests, please send out a prayer request, or you can join us at aka.ms/FCCLiveprayer. And even after the service, we're going to have the live discussion with Pastor Mia to read out about the sermon today at aka.ms/FCCLiveDiscussion. Next slide. So every Wednesday of the week itself, we're going to have a prayer meeting. It will be from 8 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The link itself will be pasted onto the Q&A section. So if you're using a laptop, you actually can click and save it. If you're using your mobile phone, okay, you may not be able to access this. Okay, but don't worry. Later, we also tell you how can you be, you know, be updated on all these activities that we have. The next slide, please. So we're going to start our baptism class again in preparation for anniversary service, which will be on the 11th of October. So please lock your date on 11th October for our anniversary service. Interestingly, we hope, let's cross finger, that we may have the anniversary service both online and also offline. So we may have a limited number of people may go back to church. So stay tuned in that. But if you're keen for the baptism class, okay, you'll be held on the 10th and the 17th of August at 8 p.m. on Zoom. Please sign up at info@freecomchurch.org. Okay, by National Day, 9th of August. This date you cannot forget because all of us are stuck in Singapore. So 9th of August, if you have not signed up, please sign up. We would like to hear from you. Okay, so next slide is about, you know, church life's surveys. We want to hear from you about what do you think we have done well in the first half and what can we improve on? You know, this service is actually run by volunteers. It's run by Gary, Pastor Mia, Pastor Pauline, Jimmy, myself, and those at the background from the AV team and the worship team. And to make the service more relevant to you guys, we really want to hear from you. With more input, you know, it allow us to really make this service better. Like today, we decided to change a bit of the format if you realize where we ask you to ask questions to key into Q&A. Do you like this type of service more interactive? If you do, please log on to this link, aka.ms/FCC2020 first H1, to tell us so that we can really see how do we improve better for you to make your experience better. As I mentioned just now, you know, we have so many activities going on during the week, during Circuit Breaker baptism class. We have the Wednesday prayer when we have some activities and you like to be updated. So please join us on FCC WhatsApp broadcast list. Okay, you can WhatsApp your name to this number, +65 9366 3818, 9366 3818, okay, so that you can be updated. Don't worry, we do not spam your WhatsApp messages. We will update you on the activity when it comes. So as today is the first week of the month itself, usually we will update on the our giving. So updated for end July 2020, unfortunately our general fund is slightly behind at 55.5%. Okay, our target is 58.3%. So I really hope, you know, we really need to hit the target. At the same time, for the building fund, we are very, very far behind. Right now, it's only at 39%, where our target is 58.3%. We do understand right now that the situation, the market may not be as fantastic as it is. Okay, some of us may not, may be having a pay cut, or some of you may have lost your job. It's okay, you know, we just give as you can, okay? So that's something that we hope, you know, everyone can contribute to make this place a home for everyone. That's why the General Fund and Building Fund allow us to do that. So how can you give? The first way, so this is a trend to show you how is our giving like. In the month of July versus last year, we are very, very short. If you notice the chart itself. So if you can, I hope, I generally appeal to everyone, okay, to donate, to give to the church itself. And how can you give? First, it's like a broken record. You hear this every week. You can go to freecomchurch.give.asia, where you can give by credit card, okay? So when you click on that link itself, you actually will find the page, okay? The page itself will give you some details in terms of how much you're going to donate to FCC. You also will request, do you want to do a donation to give.asia? It's up to you. Then you will request for your name and email. We do need that because we will receive an email receipt to indicate this giving itself, which is necessary for a financial reporting standpoint for FCC also. Then lastly is the privacy settings. The other way besides credit card, you can actually give by PayNow. Okay, the one on my left is actually the FCC General Fund and on my right is the Building Fund. So when you scan right now to give, okay, at the same time at the comment section, I will request everyone to put in your email, okay, or your name itself so that we can send you the receipt once we receive your offering itself. So now let us bow our head, quiet our heart to give thanks for all the offerings that you all have given to the church. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for being there for us. Thank you for being the mother. Thank you for being the father to us. Thank you for never giving us up. Thank you for always being with us, no matter we are clean or unclean. God, I'd like to give thanks for the offerings that was given to FCC. May this offering amplify more, not just to build this house, but also to reach out to others who may not be as lucky as us that have a place, that we can reach out to them to tell them that you are loved because God loves you as who you are. Thank you once again for bringing every single brothers and sisters here today to our Sunday service, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. So thank you everyone. So now we'll move to the last part of our service. We will have the last song by the worship team, then the benediction by Pastor Pauline. I'll see you later. Thank you.
Draw the circle wide.
No one stands alone, risk and side by side. You're the circle, you're the circle wide. You're the circle, you're the circle wide.
God, you are so much bigger than our human minds can conceive. You are so much bigger than our human constructs. Help us, Lord, to tune into your spirit, that we can hear you each and every day, the things that you are calling us to see, the things that you're calling us to do, the things that you're calling us to participate in. And so now go. Go as God's people who believe in a God who is bigger, so much bigger than we can imagine. Go as God's people who know that God has a much bigger picture in mind, even as we look at the things that happen around us. Go, go as God's people who will draw the circle wider, no matter what, no matter who, no matter when. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Pauline. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today on our digital Sunday service for August. Hope to see everyone again next week on the National Day for our service again. Please remember to join us after service today, either for the live prayer or the discussion room. Okay, if you can't join, it's okay. We also hope that, you know, you can give us your feedback about the Sunday service. Take care, God bless, and hope to see everybody, hope to see everyone soon, sorry for that, because I was quite emotional today after the last song and also the sermon itself, how I was being touched. So take care, and I really hope to see everyone. That's what I really miss the most. So have a blessed week ahead. Thank you.